many joys here as this past year went by, and we welcome new members into our congregation. Was to have Joyce Stewart join with us. Got to know Joyce several years ago when she was doing an internship here while she was in seminary. It's very good to have her with us and have her husband Bob with us today. Joyce's journey since she last saw us has taken some twists and turns. She wanted some time in our service. I'm very pleased to have Joyce to share some with us today. Joyce.
Thank you, Steve. Good morning. I frankly never thought that I would be standing here again, but here I am. Let me tell you why. As you may have noticed, I've been coming around recently. In fact, I joined church a few weeks ago, and I'm pleased about that. Some of you have said things like, didn't you used to stand up here? Others have said, aren't you a minister by now? And others have said, where have you been? So I thought I'd tell you. Some of you may remember that, as Steve said, I was your ministerial intern here in the church year of 05-06. Some may remember me as the one who got breast cancer. I'm fine, by the way, because of good health care, and I had good insurance. Some may remember me as the one who wore the funny elf costume at Christmas Sunday service. Some may remember me as the one who works at the UUA with compensation and retirement plan and health care issues. Still others will remember me as a member of your covenant group. But if you think about me at all, you're most likely to remember that I was trained to become a Unitarian Universalist minister. And you may also remember that I had expected to express my ministry through my continued work at the UUA, but in an ordained position. I never planned to be a parish minister, but rather to continue at the UUA in an ordained position. Under the careful supervision of Reverend Eddington and the internship committee, particularly Steve Ledoux, I spent the time with you honing my ministerial skills, deepening my understanding of what it means to be a minister, and fulfilling one of the requirements for fellowship with the UUA and eventual ordination as UU minister. After I left here, I took a few more courses, completed a 400-hour clinical pastoral education stint at St. Vincent Hospital in Worcester. And when I wasn't working at the UUA, I studied day and night. I spent every weekend last summer studying and preparing myself to meet the UUA's Ministerial Fellowship Committee, or MFC. The MFC is the committee who makes the final decision about whether or not a person is qualified to become a UU minister. It's a very long process of much recording and reading and so forth, but it all culminates with an hour-long interview in which the committee asks the ministerial candidate questions, and she answers them. Based on that interview, the committee then makes its decision and awards the candidate a number indicating her fitness to become a minister. A one means, yep, you're a minister. Two means, yeah, you're a minister, but you need to do a few minor reports or so forth. Three means, we think this person is a minister, but she's got a lot of work to do. Four means that the committee has considerable doubt as to whether she meets the qualifications for the UU ministry. And finally, a five indicates this person is definitely not a minister. I thought I'd probably get a two. I got a four. Considerable doubt. On April 19th just passed, I turned 60. I've been through a fair amount of disappointments in my life. When you get to be this old, that's what happens. But I can tell you this. Receiving the news that I was not fit to be a UU minister was the biggest shock and disappointment of them all. I had been preparing my whole life to be a minister. And after a one-hour interview, I was told, I'm not one. I was bitter, sad, confused, and really, really angry. I was mad at the UUA, mad at the process, mad at the MFC, but mostly mad at myself. I failed. And not only did I fail, but I failed publicly. Literally hundreds of people knew about it. I failed big time. But as it turns out, my failure isn't as permanent as I thought it was going to be. I can tell you that within a few hours of my leaving the NFC, I had heard from the executive vice president of the UUA, who said, I know you don't want to talk about it now, but for God's sakes, don't quit. Let me know when you want to talk. I'm here for you. My friends and family gathered and fed me and hugged me and loved me. I heard from my friend Bob Sampson. I also heard from my friend and minister, Reverend Eddington. Over and over and over, I heard from Steve. He's one of the main reasons I can stand here today and talk about the whole thing, and I'm incredibly grateful. Day by day, I can feel myself getting better. Like any grieving process, there have been good days and bad days. Some days have been both. Like the day the first year ministers came to visit the UUA, and we were invited to have lunch with them. When I realized that this could have been me, a first year minister, I went into the office, shut the door, and sobbed. Then I said out loud, "Hey, you're missing free lunch." I dried my face, went to lunch, and had a fine time talking to the new ministers. Along with my friends and family, the UUA itself has supported me. But the UUA showed its support in a very concrete way by promoting me up several grades with a commensurate raise in pay. I understand that the promotion was based on some corporate sense of guilt and perhaps pity, but it went a long way to my recovery. And then the second thing that happened really made a big difference. It was last March. Every year for a while now, I've been invited as a member of the UUA's Office of Church Staff Finances to meet with ministerial aspirants. These are students who are just in the beginning stages are preparing for UU ministry. Among other things, they participate in a weekend retreat to learn about the realities of UU ministry. We in the Office of Church Staff Finances are asked to meet with them for a few hours to discuss ministerial finance and compensation and so forth. In previous years, I have been able to start my presentation by saying, "I'm a student too, just like you." And that's, you know, connect personally. This year, I can no longer say that. I almost didn't go. I was afraid, embarrassed, sad, jealous, and on and on and on. But I went. I went having no idea what I was going to say to them. When I got to the retreat center, the first person I saw was one of the ministers who had been on the MFC panel. I knew she'd be there, but it was a shock nonetheless to see her. Apparently, she felt even worse than I did. When we saw each other, we hugged and we cried. She then told me something that if I had heard it before, or if I'd been told it before, I'd never heard it, that every member of the MFC panel who was in the room knew that what I do is ministry, but that my particular expression of ministry doesn't fit into the prescribed mold. And that, and this is what I really didn't hear, every one of them had nothing but absolute respect for me. I hadn't heard that before. We cried some more and hugged some more, and then it was time to meet with the students. I still didn't know what I was going to say, but I prayed, I took a deep breath, and I told them my story, the short version. I concluded by saying that I have learned that there are many paths to ministry, and they don't all begin with red. Just because you are not ordained, it does not mean you are not a minister. The concept of the priesthood of all believers is very real, I said. At the end of my little speech, they stood and applauded. Each and every one of the 12 students thanked me for sharing my story and let me know how much I had helped them. I could feel myself getting much, much better. I'm back. I know that while I will never be an ordained minister, I do know that in many small ways, I minister every day to UU congregational leaders and staff members who contact me with their questions and concerns. You, each of you, minister a little bit every day in the kindnesses and caring you give to others, in your listening to your children or your parents or your friends. A minister can be an artist, a religious educator, a choir leader, or an alto, or a tenor, or a bass, or a soprano, or can be the first guy that stands up here all by himself singing. And some minister by merely showing up at the right time, and on and on and on. So I still have a ways to go, and as you might imagine at first, I had no interest in ever stepping inside a UU church ever again. My loyal husband still feels that way. Today is the first time he stepped inside a church. But I need Sunday worship. So I hung out with the UCC congregation for a few months. It helped. But one Sunday morning, as I sat in the pew at this very nice UCC church, I realized I was ready to do more than just come to Sunday morning worship. And I also realized that I wanted to do it in a UU congregation. But which one? The answer is easy. I felt loved and cared for and appreciated here in Nashua. And so, here I am. I know there will be good days and bad days, but I think they may be just fine. Also, as you might imagine, I've read a lot of self-help books and articles in the past 8 months since I saw the NFC. Among them, I read Carol Kushner. You know, the When Bad Things Happen to Good People guy? He's got a new book called Overcoming Life's Disappointments, in which he says, history is written by winners. So most history books are about people who win. He tells the story of Moses, who came down from Mount Sinai carrying the Ten Commandments on the two stone tablets, and he says, is so distraught at the sight of the Israelites dancing and celebrating around the statue of the golden calf that he hurls the tablets to the ground, shattering them. Rabbi Kushner says that's what happens next, epitomizes the greatness of Moses at least as much as his splitting of the Red Sea. It's relatively easy, he says, to do the right thing when all is going well. The real measure of a person's character is his behavior when things are going badly. Moses then bent down and lovingly gathered up the fragments and held the broken pieces in his arms. He held the broken pieces of the dream to remind himself of the lessons he had learned when he found out that his dream would not be realized. And he did not want that memory to brand him in his own mind as a failure. Those shattered fragments would not be millstones weighing him down. Rather, they would be stepping stones, forming the foundation of future success. I know what Kushner means. My life before meeting the MFC was more or less ordered. I was clear in my path, things were lined up. I wouldn't say they were exactly carved in stone, but my future plans were clear and in place. Then, literally in an instant, my plans were shattered. There they lay at my feet, the pieces strewn all around me. I've begun to pick up the pieces of my life, and I'm putting them back together a bit at a time, day by day. So while my life will not look like what I had expected, all of the pieces are there. They're just rearranged. I do not want to think of myself as a failure. I want to think of myself as a work in progress, step by step. And I'm very glad to work on that progress here as a member of the UU congregation in Nashua. Thank you for allowing me to do just that.
And I won't try to follow that. That would be wonderful. Thank you so much, Joyce. And I just want to say I do, as everybody else has said, we welcome you into the ministry of this congregation. Very delighted to have you be a part of the ministry that we all share together here. Welcome, and we'll see you in coffee out here.